Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture portions. They are taken from three different passages. The first we will read Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 4, which is our text for this morning. And we will also read Deuteronomy 6 1 to 9 and Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. And I shall read all those for us this morning. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Listen to the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We'll be focusing on this text. Please turn again in the New Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and first 9 verses. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as forkless between your eyes, frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We shall also turn into book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 26 to 28. Book of Ezekiel, 36, 26 to 28. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Thus far is the reading for this morning worship service. As I said, our text is from book of Ephesians and those first four verses. We'll be looking into, there are two parties here. fathers and children, and fathers being the heads, so they also are included in the mothers are also included in them. So we will see this morning how these two parties, fathers and children, would follow the precepts of the Lord, and the children would be able to get instruction from their fathers so they may obey and honor their father and mother, their parents. And on the other side, the fathers also would be given corrections and instruction from the Word of God, where they would get the understanding how they need not to provoke their children to anger. And as we look into this passage this morning, I would like to tell you that for both children and parents, there is only one source from where they can find how these things work, and that is the Word of God. If you want to extend it little more, then goes to the confessions. And if you want to just conclude it, then it goes to our one and only God. But then he doesn't leave us like that. It is not that the set of instruction has been given to you. Go and check on your dining table or wherever you keep your Bible. It is your responsibility. God doesn't do that. He takes the responsibility. And therefore we read that he would take out the heart of stone and give us the heart of flesh. And he would make us obey. He would enable us to honor our parents. And then he would enable parents so they may not provoke their children. And that is the message in nutshell this morning. Dear congregation, when we think about this generation today, the Satan has very carefully crafted something which is against the family. One of the biggest obstacles between the society and God-fearing people is the confusion about family, confusion about gender, confusion about how to make money, confusion about why we need so much of resources, confusion about technology, why we need so much of technology, confusion and confusion. And that's the way he distracts. Why do this thing happen? Because there is no one foundation. There are many foundations. There are many ideas coming from different sources, and therefore people are confused. When we talk about children, obey your parents, right away there are families which are broken. They don't even would like to listen to this passage, because they evaluate, they are judgmental about parents and family, because they know something bad has happened in their family. So they don't even want to listen to that. Oh, the Bible says, obey your parents, honor your parents. Okay, but I know what my parents are. So that block this morning, if anyone has, when I read this passage, please remove that, because we are going to deal with it as well. But there may be some people very excited to listen that, because they obey their parents. They're going to get good inheritance from their parents and grandparents. And they're so excited, they're so happy to look into this passage. For them, I would like to encourage, be that way. But again, let the foundation of obeying your parents not be shifted from the Word of God to any benefit that you might get from your parents or grandparents. And therefore, I have a good news that how these children would obey and how the parents would not provoke their children is all depend on how they understand the law of God, which is given in the Word of God. Doing the will of the Father, getting connected to our siblings faithfully and to the parents faithfully is very, very important. We are family when we do the will of the Lord. We are relatives in the true sense if we have faith, which is counted from the Word of God in Christ Jesus. Don't we remember our Lord saying that, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother," which we read in Matthew 12:15. So when he connects all the relations at one point where we need to obey the Father, and that should be the connecting point for any family, whether it is a very good family or a broken family, all of them are connected to the one source. So the children, if they want to obey and honor their parents, they have only one set of instruction, that is in the Word of God. And therefore, in the first point, I would like to express the sources for both is the Word of God, the confession, and God Himself. So let us look at the first source from where parents and children can learn and they can be a peaceful and a gentle family. As we read a passage from the book of Deuteronomy 6 and verses 1 to 9, there is an appeal to God's people, precisely not just to listen, but to carefully do it. You know, I underlined that verse when I was reading it and when I was writing it. Those laws need to be done carefully. We need to focus on those laws and act upon them. There is a wrong understanding in some of the Reformed churches. Somebody may be thinking, oh, Reformed church would not do anything wrong. I think that is not true. Look at the Calvin Seminary. So what happens when people think that if I do anything good, then I am supplying myself with good works so I may be saved? Yes, that is wrong understanding. We cannot do anything good so we can supply anything, any strength to our salvation. But that doesn't give us license not to do anything good. Rather, we need to practice everything that has been given to us. Do you practice love? Do you practice faithfulness? And those practices are not considered that they are adding to our salvation. They're not going to give us any extra mileage for something that we can take and count that on to go to heaven. But rather, that is one of the requirements that we need to do that and practice it. So the source is given to us, the Word of God is given to us in order to read and practice. The Word of God is not given to us so we may memorize it and keep it in our head, which is very good. I have good examples of that. Very recently, I think 5 years ago, one of the very well-known minister in Grand Rapids area lost his mom. And I was a student in that seminary, and he in the class told us that last week my mom went to be with the Lord. She was over 90 years of age. But what was surprising that she forgot many of the people, but she did not forget certain Bible references. She would tell that was written in that psalm. And then when her own children came close to her, she would look at them very carefully and she would say, "Who are you?" She did not forget the word, but she forgot the relations on the earth. I would not say that is good or bad. It's a health. We deteriorate. We go to dust. But look at the power of the word. If we memorize it, sticks to our heart. But it is more than that. If we practice the word, it not only sticks to our mind and heart, but it passes on that beautiful, you know, the fluxes, the ripples of goodness to the others. And therefore, the Word of God, if it is memorized and not practiced, it will not cause much better for the community, because we are the body of Christ. We are connected to one another. And the Word of God is given so we may practice between us. So the Word of God should be taken very seriously. How many of us believe we are saved by faith in Christ alone, and therefore we are not here to do the works of righteousness? Isn't that a tricky sentence? We are saved, now we don't have to do works of righteousness, because then we'll become this or that. Roman Catholics, perhaps. But the Paul in his word is very careful in bringing people back to practicing the faith that they have. Unless you practice your faith, it would not bring forth any fruit. And therefore, the word of God, which is not practiced, is a dead word of God on our table. Paul in Romans 6, 18, 19 says, "And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. We need to be slave to the righteousness. Deliberately be righteous. Deliberately be righteous. And that is what it means to have the place of Word of God in our hearts, in our families. Deliberately make sure that you would not hate anybody. And I'm talking about parents and children. Parents, don't hate your children. And children, don't hate your parents. Practice, be slaves to the righteousness, leading to sanctification. Enjoy that process of God working in your heart, in your Christian living. The scripture gives us vital place for instruction and training children. Therefore, the word of God is the primary source within a family setup and even the church setup. Over and above confessions, over and above the church order and the worship order that we follow, the word of God is more important, which is read and practiced. Don't we as parents get a question when we tell our parents, I mean children, don't do this, and they ask us why? And then we find some various answers. You know, I remember when my older children were growing, they would ask why. And I tried to give them answer. And they have explanation or cross question to that. And we would fail at the end of the story to tell them why they should not do certain things. But that would not happen if you go to the Word of God. Put that responsibility of saying yes and no in the hand of one who is more powerful than parents. Tell parents and the children why we do certain things because the based instruction in the Word of God. And there would be less argument. There would not be any argument because we are now giving authority to somebody outside of us, which is our God. It's hard to see that some families are broken. The parents are visiting their children as if like, okay, we want to come and sit here. Okay, it's time for us to go home. There is no connection. Is that our culture? No, that's not the culture. It's a falsely presented culture. If you go to wedding parties of our children, and what is happening in the wedding parties, is that our culture? No, it's a false picture given. Somebody gave them that idea, do this way, and that is what the joyful wedding is. No, that's not the way. The Satan has confused us. He has given his own laws, and this is how you enjoy your life and call yourself a good Christian. And the word of God is against such tradition, such a culture. So the appeal this morning for all of us, fathers and children and parents, mothers involved, let's love one another, forgive. Another example I would like to give, how parents and children are divided. I was in Iowa preaching in one of the URC churches there, and I was surprised that the parents went to one church and the children went to the other. I was staying with a family and they were driving me to the church. And they were driving in front of one of the beautiful houses, and the son said, "My parents live here." And then we went to the church. When we were having dinner that evening, I mean in the afternoon, I asked him, which church your parents go to? So they go to different Reformed church. And since I went with the son to preach in the church, so you would know which church I might have gone to, because I'm here preaching, and the parents did not go to that church, then you can just guess where, which church they could have gone to. But what a division. And why? Because the word of God is not practiced. Tradition is, which is falsely presented. Confessions are, which is wrongly interpreted. And the church orders are, which are taken so seriously that people don't even care for the relation. Every broken relation is a challenge for evangelism. And those who humble, the Lord will lift them up. And therefore, let me say something about confession. The second source of our practice of Christian faith within the family, between parents and children, is confessions. Absolutely, yes. As early as AD 60, there came an encouragement to the church to be faithful to the faith that has been handed over to us. Jude writes that in verse 3. Yes, we believe that there is a faith which is handed over to us, and we need to hand over that faith to the next generation without any mixture, without any exchange of words. And in our Reformed circles, there is a confessions that we follow, three forms of unity. Heidelberg Catechism is very dear to us, even to us back in India. Because we started learning, there is a beauty to it. And then we look at the confession and say, why do you call it a confession? The set of confession. Then the word meaning is saying the same thing. Confession means saying the same thing. I say the same thing that 100 years ago people said. They said the same thing, you know, go back to 500 years. They said the same thing, go back to 2,000 years. They said the same thing, go back to, you know, as far as 1400 before that. Or maybe all the time. Our understanding about faith has been developed, and it is written and is handed over, and it is beautifully presented to us. There is not even a single gap where you can add your own thing. It is that beautiful. And when fool says in his heart there is no God because he wanted to live his life his own way. He doesn't want to forgive. He wants to be stubborn. And let's break that stubbornness within the family. I'm talking just about parents and children. This message is for family. Saying the same thing together is confession. And when we have differences, and then at the end of the story that we cannot tolerate, which is not something from the Word of God, but we can still love. We should have tears in our eyes when one of our family members does not go to the right direction. All the time. No place for hate. No place for it. You cannot buy a beautiful car and drive before your son's house just to tease him. No, there is no room for that. He may be completely against the word of God. He may be busy with the worldly things. He may be something arrogant. But for parents, there is no room for hate. Same thing for the children. Fathers and mothers may be absolutely worldly. We know children who were born to parents who were very, very arrogant. They never went to church, but they are godly children. So whom to blame and whom to give credit? And we know certain pastors and, you know, elders and the deacons, and their children have gone astray. Whom to blame and whom to give credit? We may give credit and blame to anybody else, but give all the concentration of your understanding to the Word of God and practice love all the time. There is an example in Indian culture. They say, righteousness comes when you pronounce the words correctly. Now, there is one word here. Utir Punyam. That means alliance of good works. Even I do not know how to pronounce that word correctly. Utir Punyam. And the culture tells, unless you pronounce that word correctly, you would not get alliance with good works. So you have to appoint somebody who pronounces that word exactly in Sanskrit. So they have pandits, gurus, and they sit in front of the family and they chant those words with correct pronunciation. And then they think we'll have religious benefit, righteous benefit. Is that the way we look at our word? How correctly our minister speaks? Is he taking that thing exactly? Or he is cutting little short? Or he is too loud? Or he is too busy, you know, correcting us and not this and not that? It is on our own life, how we practice our love and hate in our own lives, and especially in the families. And it comes back to confessions. Do we have a room for confession and then say the same thing which the 500 years ago somebody said, that Christ is our Lord and our Savior? Even the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes such an attitude. Keeping the entire authority of instructing in the hands of the Father in heaven. Matthew 23:8-12. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Take those words to the heart. Dear congregation, how wonderful it is that God has written everything plain and presented to us. We need to take it and apply and practice. And then we will stop automatically to find faults. Rather, we will find privilege to love. Find opportunity to say, we love you. And that will create a good bond. The third source of our understanding how to love parents and fathers, how to not provoke your children, the third source is the God Himself, which is over all. In there among us, there are many people, or the parents may think that there is no example that shows me God Himself comes and really deals with me directly apart from the Word of God and confession. And to that I would say 100%. There is no other way that God can show you these things more clearly. Dreams and visions may come, but these dreams and visions are in line with the Word of God. So when we think about the true God, Matthew 22:37-38, and also says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, means putting everything together on the Word of God to understand what God is speaking to you and to us. So unless we are ready to practice the love that we have within the family, all these three sources would be sitting in the Word of God closed. Confessions are based in the Word of God. God speaks through the Word of God. Word of God is given to us and it sits closed in our house if we don't practice it. It has no power in itself unless it is read, unless it is practiced, unless it is heard. And then how does this thing happen? There are enabling forces that work in us. And what are those enabling forces is my second point. Those enabling forces that allow us to practice what is written in the Word of God, what is taught in the confessions, and what our God speaks over all, God Himself has done that. And in the book of Ezekiel, we saw that God said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh in you. Now, when you think about Calvin, he very well said that our heart is a factory of idols. We create idols for our own. Now, to just clarify that in a simple words that I understand, I think God says, I will take out that heart of stone, because the idols are made out of stone most probably by all the levels of the people. Primary material that is used to make idols is stone. You know, maybe marble, maybe silver, gold and diamonds and all that. But the primarily it is stone. It comes from that dust. So whatever our heart desires and we create for ourselves, it is going to be an idol, because our heart is full of that stony heart. So there nothing would come out a good unless the Lord changes that heart. So very simple understanding about this. When God says, I will give you new heart of flesh, means whatever you would create after that heart would be living thing. And there is nothing living unless it is based in the Word of God. And therefore, God enables us to understand the Word of God. He gives us new heart. He gives us new spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, in Judah, that situation when the king Jehoiachin was ruling on Judah, he was 18 years old. Later on, Babylonians came and they captured that whole thing and appointed his uncle Zedekiah over Judah as a puppet king. So there was a presidential crisis in the time of Ezekiel, in the time of what we are talking about, when Ezekiel is talking that I will give you new heart. That situation there, the political chaos, was because of the presidential office. Who is the king of that particular nation? What is happening today in the world is the crisis of who is our president? Who is making law for us? Who is making rules for us? Are they puppets? Are there uncles appointed over them somewhere whom we do not know? And in that situation, people were confused. They were not able to understand whom to follow, whether to Jehoiachin, who was 18 years old, or his uncle, who was Zedekiah, who was little older than him. But he was the puppet of somebody else, Babylonians, who were supposed to now capture them and take them to the, you know, not from the promised land to the promised land, but to the prison by the rivers of Babylon. Well, we are in the same situation, dear brothers and sisters, dear congregation. Our presidents have been captured and made puppets. And therefore, the word from Ezekiel comes very powerfully today to us. He said, I will take out that heart from you which is stone's heart, and put in you the heart of flesh, and anoint you with the freshness of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, don't worry. Because I am not interested in the nation with the boundaries and the passports. I am interested in the nation which is the sons of Abraham, and because of Christ, they would be called my children. And He is interested in individual families. Are you faithful within the family? Then the whole other aspect of the nation, community, would be taken care of. Towards the end of this sermon, I would also like to mention few more applications for us. One of the application is, I read Calvin, and you know, I give my heart eagerly and entirely. That is what Christ, I mean, John Calvin said about his Christian living. And I was trying to figure out where that quote is, but there is no mention of that quote till today. I couldn't find any. But I thought, okay, since everybody uses it, I will use it. But Calvin had said something else, which is more powerful than what the Calvin University mentions about. In his Institutes 11.8, it says, "The human heart is a perpetual idol factory," which I just mentioned. In other words, an uninterrupted idol factory. Therefore, a stony heart will produce dead idols, and a living heart of flesh will produce life. And in our family, if there is a conflict between parents and children, our hearts are not yet changed. Either parents' heart need to be changed, there need to be a heart surgery very soon, or the children's heart need to be changed. And that would bring us to the conclusion of this sermon this morning. Dear congregation, let us confess with one another and say, let the gospel work in us. And if our families are excellent, having all the joy based in the Word of God, praise God for it. Let the praise and corrections bounce on the walls of our house every day. When we sit together, let that happen. Let the house, the walls and the roof know that this house is full of the Word of God. You know, on the doorpost, right here and there, you know, you just follow that pattern. And it will come back to us as a harvest of righteousness. And then we would be together, able to pray together. We will be able to sit together, and we will be able to do mission work together. May the Lord richly bless you as we conclude this sermon with the word of prayer. Come, let's pray. Loving and merciful Heavenly Father, we praise thy name, Lord, for all the good things that thou hast given to us. We have good families, and we have broken families. But Lord, when you would change our heart, that would not matter much. But hereafter, how we would deal with our own families, let that matter more. So pour down the love and the spirit into each and every family that attends this very congregation. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.